Good morning. Today is Friday, the 22nd of July. How can that be?
I know. It's going way too fast.
Joining us this morning is Jana Valakovic. It was, I don't know if it was elucidating for me or kind of like, you know, black humor when the sins of your youth come back to you as a parent.
Oh, yeah, that's always fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So we're going somewhere, and Stefan's about to turn 30. And he said, where'd the last 3 months go? It went by too fast. I thought, yeah, stay tuned, kid. Decades will be replacing months for you shortly.
My son panicked last night and said, how many more weeks of summer break do I have?
Oh.
I said, well, go look at the calendar. Okay. All right.
He was hoping that there was more, or he was hoping
to get
back to school.
No, oh. Hoping there was more.
Oh, he's one of those that has an active summer.
In his mind.
I see. Not mom and dad. All right. Are you ready for a why do we say it?
No, never.
All righty. Moonlight. Mm. Why do we say moonlight? As in moonlighting.
Yes, as in moonlighting.
Yeah,
well, because you split shift, you have an alternate path. You do things during the light of the moon because you extend the day.
You howl at the moon? I mean, you're kind of walking that path, aren't you?
Well, I wasn't going down the werewolf track. No. But, I mean, wouldn't it be...
I was thinking having free time in summer.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Staying up late enough and getting involved.
But if you were in Alaska in the summer, it would be hard to have a...
There would be no moonlight.
Right.
It might be coming back now.
Well, they have very long days right now.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, moonlight can be so bright that you can do activities at night. So it's probably in reference to being able to do a second shift or have a side hustle.
All right.
No?
These days, many people decide to moonlight by holding down a second job in addition to the first one. Few descriptive terms are more appropriate than this one. You're getting close. Its birth coincided with the advent of the 40-hour work week. Many employees accustomed to a 56-hour work week hardly knew what to do with the extra time, besides they needed the extra money. Night afforded lots of opportunities to take a second job, usually part-time. Now that industries and businesses operate around the clock, lots of persons working a second or third shift moonlight in the broad daylight.
Oh, sure. So it's in reference to the gig economy definition.
And where did gig come from? Is that an acronym?
Well, I think it's in reference to sort of the tech innovations that have created a new space for other
but, I mean, when
types
you,
of
like,
employment.
Gig a fish,
yeah,
that's not a pleasant thing.
No.
If you're the fish.
No, but I'm not sure that the gig economy is a pleasant thing either. I mean, it does have independence and freedom associated with it.
Boy, it was really, we'll get on topic here in a sec. It was really intriguing. After the show yesterday, Fred Van Fleck and I were sitting around talking, and he was referencing how common and how often and how in the fabric of the life for young people cell phones are. That it's totally different. We were asked. One of my favorites was they had that not classes, but they had the opportunity for those that already had children and were still going to high school to stay in school and a couple of portables. And I said, so what's the status of that? And he said, they don't have it anymore. I said, really? Daycare on campus? He said, no. He said, with the cell phones, there's not that much. You don't go and hang out with friends. It's all telephone stuff. That's the social interaction now, is electronic social interaction.
You're implying that teen pregnancy is going down because of cell phones?
That's what he's saying, because there's less physical interaction. And I thought, isn't that interesting? And within the last 5 to 10 years, I mean, it was almost that dramatic.
Well, I'm happy to hear that.
That was his thought, yeah.
Teen pregnancy is going down. That's a good
thing. Mom can breathe a little easier, yes.
I won. My daughter is 19, so she's almost out of the teen
pregnancy. I was pushed through that. Yeah,
that potential. I don't think that will be her future. But that's a good segue into what I was doing last week. Last week I taught the how many years now? 1993. To 2022.
You sure you want to count that?
No. So we've been running a program called the Forestry Institute for Teachers, which brings credentialed teachers from all over California, from the kindergarten through high school level, to the North Coast to spend a week in residence with us to learn about natural resources and to get inspired to bring some of that back to their classroom.
Wasn't this in conjunction with the virtual learning stuff and being able to visit the parks?
Right.
Digitally, and I mean, that all the onset of all that stuff kind of happened at the same time?
No, but I think we might have talked about it in the past. So I've done it since 2000, and we had a little hiatus during COVID because we didn't have a facility that could host us, and this is our first time back in the saddle trying to pull together the Institute. But we had 25 teachers come, and they're from...
Do they jump up and down? Is it a privilege to be selected, or is it first come, first serve? I mean, how did
they
you
have to apply?
That?
No, they have to apply, and we give preference to teachers that apply as a group, so they have a buddy to go home with and be able to sort of bounce ideas off of.
Same school district.
Same school district. Okay. Right. So we get cohorts of teachers together. As I said, kindergarten all the way through high school, all the way from art teachers to science teachers to math teachers to English teachers. But the point
that's
being,
that's interesting that you would cross curriculum rather than keep it in niches.
There's all kinds of ways to inspire kids about the natural world.
Elementary school teachers.
Right.
Okay, that's what it was going to be. We're not going to have high school English teachers.
No, we do.
Well, that's what I have been led to believe.
Right, we have it all. We have a wonderful blend. And the goal is to help them bring curriculum to their classroom that has a bit of a natural resource flair to it. And it's kind of part of a workforce development framing.
How many wanted to move here?
Most teachers coming from hot places in California really enjoy a week in the cool.
That's right. I didn't know if you'd use that as a way to help staff Humboldt. Was it redwood trees focused, or was it get out in nature focused?
It is a bit of everything.
We'll talk about a bit of everything.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. Still foggy out there, so, well, I guess it's not too bad. You may run into
it. It's pretty thick.
I can't see Freshwater Valley in the cutoff. But, so, anyway, take it easy. It's a Friday. Summer Friday. Expect the Winnebago when you least expect it. So getting these teachers, and I would presume that they were from the non-rural areas of the state?
Not entirely. We had a few from the Sierras. We had two from Gaski in Del Norte County. We had a teacher from Eureka this year in Cutton. And then we had a cohort of folks from Monterey and Santa Cruz, and then a bunch from LA, and there was a Sacramento cohort.
So why would the rurals want to go to a rural, other than just to kind of maybe stimulate ideas? I mean, was it just a creative opportunity for them?
Well, if you're a local teacher and you come to our program, the real advantage is that you get to go places you've never gone before. Really, we part the Redwood Curtain, and it's like a great ecotourism opportunity. Some people use that term. But 45 to 50 professionals come together to put this program on, and you would walk
the
away.
The staff side of it?
There was tons of volunteer donation of time.
So you had like a 1-to-2 ratio instead of a 2-to-1?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, now I understand why they want to jump on board.
Right, and so when you walk away from the program, you've experienced places you didn't know existed in California, in Humboldt County or the North Coast. You now have a list of 50 resource professionals that if you call and say, hey,
the
I
networking.
Met you
yeah.
at the Forestry Institute for Teachers. It was amazing. Is there any chance you'd come to my classroom? Or is there a possibility that I could take my class to see whatever I learned from you? That is such a huge
resource. Oh, yeah,
like you
yeah.
cannot believe. What I find is there's a little bit of a bias around from folks from the North Coast that feel like, well, I kind of know this. Like, why would I go there? It's in my backyard. I already have those opportunities.
Filling in the blanks rather than the.
Well, I think
canvas.
They perceive yeah. that they're what more benefit would they get given they already are immersed in this
okay.
in the North Coast community.
So, and what's the number one eye-opener for locals?
For locals? Well, we take teachers through a sawmill, which there really are no sawmills.
And they're shocked that there's a sawmill.
Well, there yeah. are no sawmills that really offer formal tours, so it's an exclusive experience to be able to.
So it's not like going through the old PL.
No, it's not. It's not set up like the one in Fortuna, or actually the one in Blue Lake. It used to have a whole catwalk above the whole
right.
the whole facility.
Well, so kind of like Scotia used to with.
Yeah, but it'd yeah. be perfectly set up for a tour. We are in.
It's sawdust.
Well, not exactly in sawdust, but we're where the workers are. We're with the workers. We're walking through the mill just as any other employee would work in their space. And so it's.
Do you use Corbell for that?
No, we go to Scotia, actually.
Okay, so you go.
We go to Scotia.
Okay.
So that's really neat. We spent a lot of time in nature, so we're in creeks and we're going looking for salamanders and we're flipping rocks and we're finding tailed
frogs.
The Fern
Canyon kinds of creeks or just any kind of tributaries that?
Many of these are in the Mad River watershed because that's convenient and close. We rent the facilities of Humboldt or the Cal Poly Humboldt, and I'm getting better at it.
Almost.
I almost did it. And this year, Cal Poly Humboldt actually became an official sponsor of our program.
Oh. Do they let you monkey around up at the Telonica?
We're not doing marine stuff.
Okay.
Not doing marine stuff. Though we do take the teachers snorkeling with full wetsuits and snorkels to look for coho fry with fisheries biologists. And
I thought you were going to say at the fish hatchery.
No.
To play with them.
Oh, that'd be terrible. But have you ever been to Scotia's aquarium?
Yeah, but it was when I was...
The fish exhibit is pretty amazing. We take the teachers through the aquarium in Scotia. If you don't know this, it's right near the entrance to the sawmill, and it is one of the most lovely buildings that I've been in. It's kind of like a Japanese garden with beautiful redwood, like a pergola over the top of all these fish tanks, and you can see steelhead at many stages of their life, so from
that's what I remember
fingerlings
seeing
all the way to just about mature,
mature
sizes. Anyway, you just get to go to places that are not on the beaten path, and you get new experiences
or publicized on that kind of a basis. Yeah.
And most people have never been snorkeling in their life, for example,
right.
and
right.
the idea that you could snorkel in a smaller stream, you're not going to get washed out.
Right. Yeah, yeah. You don't have to worry about Jaws themes being played in the background or anything like that.
No,
yeah.
But you've got someone right with you who's saying, hey, did you see this? Did you see this? This is what to look for.
Your guide, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I suspect that the mentoring model,
yeah.
I guess, is something that is really the extraordinary part of this.
Right.
Is it you get that. Yeah, I mean, yeah, Humboldt County's got waterfalls, but do you know where they are?
Right.
You know,
right.
Those types of things, and it's the third and fourth level tourist stuff, not the primary.
Right.
One.
So for teachers, all their expenses are paid, and I should talk a little bit about their sponsors in a minute to make that possible. But then the goal is to develop curriculum. And so we have three professional teachers that are working at grade level appropriate guidance to help our student teachers, so we call them, even though they're the teacher world gets a little bit overused there, but basically the attendees of our program who are teachers develop a curriculum idea, and then when they go home, if they implement it and then write to us and share kind of how the experience went, they'll get a $200 stipend as a reward for actually being able to use the information.
So do they then share that amongst their peers? Is that part of the,
yes,
the buy-in?
Right,
is it,
that's all part of the
it
buy-in.
It has to get spread and shared, yeah.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Jana Valakovic from the UC Cooperative Extension at Spruce Point.
That's right. That's right.
Spruce Point will at least live as long as I do.
And probably as long as I do.
Yeah. You know what you ought to do?
What should I
with
ought
one
to?
Of the trees out there?
There's only like two.
Put a plaque on it.
Oh,
the spruce. See if anybody gets it.
No, they probably won't.
Yeah.
Deep in joke, folks.
Yeah,
in joke.
Yeah, some of the old timers might, and that's about it. So with the institute that you put on,
mm-hmm.
I would think that it would be more than challenging to try to compress what you would want to infuse in these folks in 1 week.
Oh, it's so hard.
Five days or 4 days, you know, with the travel on either side.
No, we get them Sunday at 2, and they go away Saturday at noon.
Oh, so you at least get 7 calendar days.
I get 7 calendar days with them, and then we sort of stretch the hours. We moonlight, back to that reference. So our days start at 7, and they don't often end till 9 at night.
So it's kind of like, for me, what I would define as the ideal conference. Or convention.
Maybe, yeah. I mean,
as long as you're there to find out.
You're there, and
let's go.
And we have a ton of fun, and we have big barbecues, and lots of people come in for those barbecues.
Salmon barbecues?
We have a salmon barbecue.
All stages of...
uh-huh.
Gotcha.
Actually, we chose to eat the mature salmon.
Oh, good job.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Okay.
You get a little more bang for the buck there.
Yeah. Yeah, the per pound. Not so much head ratio involved, yeah.
Right. I mean, for those of you who know, one of the local cattlemen, Pete Busman, he does a great job. He barbecues for us two nights. One night is a tri-tip dinner, and then the next night is a ribs and chicken dinner.
So you don't even have to use bone at all.
I don't know.
I thought Rex would be right in the middle of it all. And
oh. I mean, we could. It's really not about politicians. It's really about...
No, fun.
It's about fun. It's about
just
enjoying
fun.
The North Coast
yeah.
in a really fun way, getting inspired about science, getting inspired about forested ecosystems, landscapes in general, and getting inspired about how to, you know, have some professional development opportunities to get better at what you do in your own classroom.
Do you do an intake interview when they arrive?
Yep, we do.
Say,
pre-test,
okay,
post-test, post-test.
What do you... What are the changes or the impressions, the walk away at the end of the week?
The end of the week, so this feels a little bragging, but since you asked, most people say that this is the best professional development program they've ever been to, regardless of stage of their career.
Because
it's so authentic and it's so immersive, and we model both ways to teach, how to teach, you know, the theory and thought around instruction and assessment. But
it's teaching in addition to natural resource exposure.
Exactly. So we teach different assessment techniques. We teach different ways to, you know, integrate, do, you know, multiple theme teaching, the idea of, you know, we were talking earlier, like you could have a history lesson and have a history teacher lead on one piece, and then you could be doing something in your science class that relates to that time period in history, you know, just different ways to kind of strategize learning about place. And
so obviously the big question is, if their walk away is that impressive, you know, they are that impressed, why doesn't Humboldt knock on your door and say, we need this for every one of our teachers before they become student teachers? Or
coming
the other way,
these
folks that go out to the various school districts say, hey, we got to send 5 or 6 people up there and have one of these happening every month.
Well, that's a good question. I think mid-career teachers probably benefit the most because they're comfortable being teachers. So they know they know how to manage the classroom. They know how to change curriculum and do different lessons.
They've got their processes.
They do. We don't make a preference about what stage of career people are in, but we certainly accept everybody across the spectrum. But I think those mid-career folks probably get the most out of it because they've got still 10 to 15.
For your investment with them.
Right,
yeah.
Right. I mean, this isn't my full-time gig, right? So there's that side to it, and I wouldn't want to wear out my welcome with all the folks that helped put this on. I mean, I want to make, you know, some shout out to Green Diamond Resources Company. They roll out the
that guy again.
Yeah, they.
Well, you just can't get away from him, can you?
There's a whole team of folks.
Oh, okay,
really,
it's not just Gary.
No, not at all. I mean, whole aquatics crew will bring wetsuits so that we can get.
Not at all. Thank God.
Stop. I mean, the new general manager, Pete Jackson, helps welcome us, but their wildlife crew will take us to all kinds of interesting opportunities.
Cool places. Regular people don't get to see.
Exactly. Yeah. But then there are a whole bunch of local entities that help fundraise. So the Redwood Region Logging Conference has been longstanding sponsor of the program. The California Women in Timber and the North Coast Chapter in particular fundraise for the program. Many entities come together, both in professional time as well as in financial contributions to make the program happen. And I get the privilege of deciding where we go and what we do and what subject matters we cover and bring in, you know, a lot of the talent that's in the North Coast.
What about the 1-to-2 ratio, the two? I would think that there would be a long, long list of people wanting to help out from the professional side if they've had that exposure and possibly even gone through the program themselves and understand what it is, that would be as difficult choosing who your mentors were as choosing those that get to experience the event.
You know, it ebbs and flows. This year was a little harder. People had given up this week to vacations and other things that were happening. You know, folks who've been in the program for a long time always know this mid-July date. This is what we do. I've you know, carved some time out for it. I'm always trying to bring new folks into the equation because once they touch it, they usually really like it. It just depends how much you like public service and you like sharing a little bit of your own personal story and what you do.
But if you've accomplished anything, that's all part of it. I mean, isn't it to
yeah, I mean,
share your excitement, share your passion, share what's going on?
And that's the end lesson I try and leave. It's like when you read a story in the paper, really, it's never that black and white. It's filled with shades of gray. How do you teach critical thinking skills? And when you read a story about any natural resource topic, know that there's people like us that, you know, lead with our heart, lead with science, lead with, you know, a very thoughtful approach to trying to do the best professional job we can. And the real story is far more interesting than what the, you know, journalists often are able to articulate.
And that there are the resources there if you do have a question.
Right.
Call.
Call. Exactly. We'd love to tell you what the real story is.
Yeah.
or our part of the...
Yeah, perspectives.
Yeah. It's all about perspectives. So, I don't know. It's fun stuff.
Now, you said this has been going on for 20, 30, something.
Since 1993, so we're 29 years minus the two that we were on hiatus because of COVID.
What's been the legacy of this so far?
A legacy. Well, it's very hard to do a quantitative evaluation because teachers don't stay in the same school district necessarily. But we've taught over 2,000 teachers over the years, and you just have to feel that they have done their part to extend, you know, a little bit of the North Coast to their communities, both their personal and professional communities.
Do they come back to you
or
give you feedback at all, let's say a year later? Or
I get cards, I get thank yous, I get little tidbits, yeah.
But not cake?
No cake.
Not yet, huh?
Not yet.
Yeah, yeah. Well, wouldn't that be kind of cool? Somebody from a metropolitan area, and whether it was safe to eat or not, I'm going to your canny thing, right?
Yeah, right.
They would send you, like, jelly from blackberries that they picked out in the woods on a family or classroom trip.
I get heartfelt cards. I get little video vignettes. I get people that develop curriculum send me information about it.
Do the kids
don't know me, right? So they wouldn't have a reason necessarily.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
But the community shines and really rallies to make this an enjoyable experience for everyone who attends.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:45.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with airlines going to seven cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right. You can fly on American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood, Burbank, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable. So book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:49. We're back talking shop this morning with Yana Valakovic. So other than this, what's keeping you going these days?
Well, just I thought I'd share what I'm going to do this afternoon, which can be fun.
The beach?
Oh, yeah. That does sound like fun. No, I'm going to be with the County of Humboldt and the Fire Safe Council, and we're doing a training program for some that are under contract to help provide services to a cost share program for landowners to do some fuel reduction work around their homes and then also get some guidance around how to improve sort of the fire resiliency of their structures. So I'm doing a training program for those technicians.
Is this like post-construction or
post-construction,
pre-construction?
Well, you could do it either way. But so if there are community members that are looking for some support dollars to help them in fuels reduction, so vegetation management, and would like some guidance about how to improve the, we call it home hardening of the structure, that's what this program does. And so it's available through the County of Humboldt's Fire Safe Council website, and it's a unique pot of money. You're not going to do the whole property, but, you know, working basically immediately around homes, there's resources available.
You have to be, in the wildland areas or the interface areas? I mean,
There's a preference that is given.
4th and 8th Street probably isn't going to qualify.
Right. It's more in the rural landscapes and the areas that are having more frequent fire exposures. But there's also an element of it trying to understand those that are low income or have some, you know, or maybe elderly and could use a little special assistance. So there's some dollars that also are geared in that direction.
Again, for structures that are out in those areas.
Yeah. And this is not necessarily the home hardening piece. It's more the guidance around it. But it does cover, it's a cost share or assistance program for the fuels work.
Knowing that you're a quasi-botanist.
Right, sort of.
So I'm giving you a back outdoor pretty wide. What plants are the best to use? Because everybody still wants to have a house or a structure that looks pretty.
Absolutely.
But you don't want to have a bunch of firecrackers sitting around the house either that if you look at funny can just...
So it's really about plant placement. And it's really about backing some of those plants away from the structure, giving the structure a little area to breathe.
Breathing space
makes it a lot easier to paint and maintain.
Two, three feet kind of thing?
Five feet.
Okay.
5 feet around decks too, under decks. Like just think about a moat around your house that is less clogged with plants in general.
No ferns against the house.
well, no woody plants, especially.
Woody plants. All right. Okay. Well, we'll worry about that one next month. Thanks for coming by. Have fun this afternoon.
Oh, thank you.
See everybody on Monday.